Good evening. I want to direct your attention to Daniel chapter 6. And you will recognize that in Daniel chapter 6, where we find Daniel in the lion's den. And I had thought about getting Greg to sing us in a round of Daniel and the lie. You know how that goes, right? So once we get that stuck in our head, though, it just kind of never goes away for a while. So here's what I want us to think about this evening. What Daniel did in his private life by way of his worship to God would eventually be known to the king. Probably was not as private as he might have thought that it was. Maybe didn't even intend it to be so. He would open his windows toward Jerusalem in that way, and so not completely private. But there's no doubt that eventually would change the world through Daniel's wise choices. And so this evening I want us to think about staying on track by making good choices. What does that look like for us? And Daniel's a wonderful example. And in fact, it's one of those lessons that the last time that I did a Google search of images for Daniel, immediately it popped up, Daniel in the lion's den, and 93 of 100 of the pictures that popped up, the first pictures that popped up on that first page were that picture, Daniel chapter 6, what was taking place, Daniel in a lion's den. We know, though, that it's much more than just a children's VBS story or a children's Bible class story. There's so much to the lesson itself and so much for us to learn from it. But I want to begin tonight first with a historical setting. I want to lead up to Daniel chapter 6. By the time that we get to this famous historical event of Daniel in the lion's den, our friend here has already seen enough for two lifetimes, you might say. He has experienced so much by this point in time. He has, excuse me, he has seen the tragic fall of his nation and his people. He has seen the destruction of Solomon's temple. He himself has been uprooted from his homeland. He's been transported into a foreign country to serve a conquering king, in fact. He's seen and he's tasted food from the king's training table. He's turned it down. He's been blessed for his faith by doing so. He's seen and interpreted a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar that would the foretelling of the coming of the church and kingdom, and it's an impending impact upon the world to come and its eternal longevity. Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 3, he's seen three of his closest comrades stand up for their faith, be rescued from that burning fiery furnace. And so he has certainly seen quite a bit. He's seen a king who confessed the Lord, yet remained so prideful and haughty that Jehovah brought him down and as if he was a tree being fallen by an axeman, if you will. And that way, he was brought so low. And he was taught pride. He was taught about humility and the downfall of his pride. He's seen Nebuchadnezzar's son take the throne and seen literally the handwriting of God on the wall in Daniel chapter 5. He's been a slave. He's been a satrap. He's been a governor. He's been a trusted advisor to three kings. And through it all, he has faithfully prophesied the Lord's word without fear and without favor. He's lived a lifetime of wise choices. Daniel is a man of God, a man of purpose, a man of conviction. We've probably all heard sermons by those points being made. Nebuchadnezzar's 45-year reign ended with his son Belshazzar. He would ascend to the throne. Truly powerful ruler whose greatest claim to fame was building the the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. At times, cruel, wickedly cruel. Daniel 5, verse 19. And then humbled by God's correction. We see another king, Darius the Mede, come on the scene. He would take the throne from Belshazzar at age 62. And that's where we pick up in Daniel chapter 6. He set up his government with satraps or princes. Some translations will use the word princes there. And so tonight I'll be reading from the King James. We'll begin in Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The opening statements of Daniel chapter 6 tell us where Daniel stands out by way of rank, but also by way of favor with this particular king. Daniel, he is an A-list appointee, if you will. When you hear, especially in the news, and talking about certain appointments of cabinet members and things like that, or judges, you'll hear about an A-list appointment in that way. And so Daniel has an A-list appointment, there's no doubt about it. He's one of these three rulers that are appointed over all the satraps, or over all the princes, over these 120. These were townships, larger regions, and so forth. They could collect taxes, serve as judges, they could appoint cabinets of their own, take care of the roads, bridges, serve as counselors to the king. Numerous were their roles and their jobs. 120 of them were appointed to really show forth and solidify his rule throughout the empire. They were meant to do just that. And so Daniel seems to rise to the top of everything that he does, whatever situation is that he's having to face, whether good or bad. And Darius considered making him ruler over the whole realm, over the whole empire, which is quite amazing. But with his rise of fame and favor with the emperor, with Darius, then you find out that the other governors, they are quite jealous. This jealousy would develop, and as expected, considering that Daniel was the foreigner in the bunch, and knowing what we know about Daniel, that's not going to be surprising to any of us to know that they're upset with Daniel, that he's the one that's chosen. Why would he be the one to be chosen? He's one of those captives, and that's how they would still look at him even later. And so verse 4, we find that they set out, they're going to try to find something against him, but they couldn't do it. Verse 4, it says, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And so it leads from there in light of Daniel's integrity, because he continued to make certainly wise choices and good choices. He was faithful to God in all things. Nothing could be said, no fault could be found against Daniel in that way. And so they said in verse 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so now they're going to take his faithfulness to God, and they're going to use it and twist it and turn it in a way that he's going to be punished for so doing. And so we pick up in verse 6, these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. In other words, it could not be changed once it was signed as a decree. And wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Notice in verse 7 that absolute lie that they told. All the presidents, all of the counselors, all the captains, we've all got together and said, this is what we want to do for you. They're playing into certainly the king's vanity. And so, but Daniel evidently was not in the mix. And so certainly as the ranking member of all of those, he was left out. And so it was not, he was not consulted obviously in the process. But this proposed decree, again, playing into the king's vanity, it's often the case that kings and rulers, we see that in the previous one, Daniel chapter 5, they much think of themselves as gods. That was pretty, or at least godlike. And so they play to his vanity in that. And so he signs the writing and the decree there in verse 9. But then we see Daniel's choice, his convicted choice. He couldn't be changed from that. Knowing the law, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew about this. He heard about it, certainly after it was signed into law, because that would have been a big deal, by the way, once this was accomplished. And Daniel knew the writing was signed. He went to his house, windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Nothing has changed here. His faithfulness to God was not going to change. This decree was not going to change that. And they knew that. It was the reason for the whole thing to begin with. And so now you have those governors jumping for joy, right? They think they've got him. And so these men assemble. They found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 12, they came near, they spoke to the king concerning the king's decree that, have you not signed a decree that every man should ask petition of God within these 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king says, well, of course I signed this. This is true. And according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not, they answered and said that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. He doesn't think much of you, O king, which certainly was a lie as well. He regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day, verses 11 to 13. And now the king's in a dilemma. He's realized his own foolishness. He's realized they played to his vanity. He got sucked into to their plan to try to bring down Daniel. But he had no choice. Again, law of Medes and Persians could not be changed. And so the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. So he's trying to figure out a way that he might deliver him, and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king and said, King, know, O king, that the law of Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Verse 16. And so the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring, in other words, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18. A sleepless night. King went to his palace, passed the night in fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He's up all night. What about the morning? When the morning came, king ran early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt, Then the king was exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Verse 23. We could stop there and say, what an amazing story, right? We know how these stories typically end. Someone was tricked here. The king was, and he's not going to let that go lightly. And so the governors are going to be punished. Their families as well. The king commanded, verse 24, brought those men which had accused Daniel, cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, break all their bones in pieces, and ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then, here's another decree for you. Because here's a different way of thinking of things. And I love the king's question. Daniel, knowing that he couldn't change anything, Daniel, the God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. But he's up all night, no doubt wondering if he's been, in fact, delivered from the mouths of the lions. And in the next morning, Daniel, were you delivered by the God whom you serve continually? What that did to his thinking is this. King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, steadfast forever. His kingdom that shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Look at verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So spanning four kingdoms, including Cyrus, Daniel would prophesy and Daniel would prosper by the hand of God. Now let's apply this. Let's see where this lesson goes for us. It is easy to do right in the church. It's easy to do right when we're right here, right? We've come with the right mindset, hopefully, to worship God. It's easy to be faithful right here. But what about when we step out the doors? What about after worship, after Bible class? What about during the week? I mentioned to you a few weeks back of the book that I'm reading by Steve Miller about Between the Sundays. What does that look like for us? We should know that others certainly are watching us. Years ago, a young man by the name of Matthew, he used to meet me at the back door when I was leaving for work, and others as well when folks would come and visit us. And he had this saying, stay on the right path and don't get lost. And it sounded so wonderful and cute, and he's hating that I'm even bringing it up. It's my job to embarrass them, right? Stay on the right path and don't get lost. And what was no doubt a cute saying was impactful on everybody that heard it. And why wouldn't it be? It's profound, and especially coming from the mouth of a kindergartner, a first grader at that time. Stay on the right path and don't get lost. But there are those who are watching us. There are those who are out there seeing what we do, seeing how we live life. Some waiting to catch us in some inconsistency in our lives, in our faith and our practice of it. And on the other hand, then some will use our consistency maybe in some way against us, as maybe Daniel was done. But honesty, integrity, Christian character, though it's always tested, is still the best choice. Someone stated that integrity is what we are in the dark. What we are in the dark. In other words, when no one else is really seeing it, or at least we think that's the case. Character is made up of choices when no one else is watching, when no one else is seeing. We've played out the scenario maybe in our minds. What if someone threatened our lives for us to denounce Christianity, for us to denounce God? Maybe we've played that out in our minds. I think we'd climb on the altar, so to speak, for Christ. But you know, sometimes it's more challenging to live daily in those little things, to be faithful. We could see some big gesture in that way, and we would give ourselves for that. But how about daily living? We are called to give our lives in little increments, and it's often much more difficult. We're called to live our faith in the pennies of ethical behavior, someone stated, in the nickels of time management with our families, in the dimes of not taking easy excuses for forsaking the assembly of the saints, in the quarters of being faithful spouse, in the dollars of training our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And in some ways, the day-to-day monotony of right choices is probably harder than that one-time big gesture that we might would give. Yeah, I'd give my life for my kids, but would I give them Monday night to study the Bible? I'd sacrifice my life for my wife, but will I listen to her when she talks about her bad day that she's had when I've had one as well? The little things. I'd die for the Lord, but will I serve? Will I reach out to others? Will I help? Will I encourage? Will I be that Barnabas to someone to help and encourage and to build up and to lift them up? Would I be a teacher like Paul and be a father in the faith to someone and help someone in their walk of faith? Would I teach a children's class? Would I help with benevolence? These are all choices that we have to make, by the way. I pray we'll make wise choices. And those that will certainly live out on the big stage of life, so to speak. Even though seemingly they're little, inconspicuous, and maybe even no one seemingly watching whatsoever. Daniel's choices made a huge impact on the world. The faith of the prophets, like Daniel, stopped the mouths of lions. Hebrews 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions. Some say, well, that's Daniel. He did the big stuff for God. But if you examine the text and the whole book carefully, you will learn why he was able to do just that. Because every day in his life, he was living faithfully. The Apostle Peter wrote about our enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may destroy. He wants to devour us, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. So here's, very briefly, six secrets to wise choices that I want to share with you as we close, that we might encounter our own lion's den, if you will. Making good choices. In the first place, you notice the king took note of him. That Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. It's stated there in verse 3. Spent his life away from his country, his nation, his family, his church, if you will, the temple. No bitter complaints. He just worked hard, facing all the circumstances that he had to face, with his faith prevailing. That's an excellent spirit. Of course, the word excellent there means extraordinary. I think it's extraordinary because you look over the span of his life. We're not talking about a young man at this point in time. We're talking about an older man. Possibly in his 70s at this point. I didn't say old, I said older. Hope you caught that. As we grow older, we too much watch ourselves to make sure that we do not develop that sad, pessimistic, gloomy spirit about us. Look at it as the fourth quarter, and we've got to still give our best. In other words, choose your spirit well, number one. Choose your spirit well. Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. Number two, choose your memories well. Daniel had a reservoir of faith that he could tap into. In 70 years, 70 plus years maybe at this point in time, Daniel had seen how God had blessed him, how he had blessed his friends that we studied about 2 weeks ago, how God had taken care of him. He had much to draw on by the way of experiences in his own life. And those things in our daily lives help us. They strengthen us. They're more than just slogans like been there, done that to us. Those experiences, we understand, have helped shape us into the people that we are. And hopefully in that, our good and wise choices and our faithfulness unto God, we can look back in that reservoir of faith. And so choose your memories well, number two. Number three, choose how you influence others well. Daniel had realized, no doubt, his faith was affecting the whole world. And this is the last decree that Darius writes to all nations, all people, all languages. It's going out everywhere. He had seen Nebuchadnezzar submit to God. He's seen others grow in their faith toward Jehovah, and now even Darius. This was his influence in the middle of that pagan kingdom as a captive, as a foreigner. Choose how you influence others well. Number four, choose your habits well. Daniel's faith, no doubt, was seen and was known. That's what they're going to use against him. It was known outside the walls, but ultimately it was heard in heaven. Those who hated him knew what Daniel did inside the walls of his own house. And so consistent, his enemies knew exactly when he would be there and what he would be doing at that point in time. As was his custom, the Bible tells us. Choose your habits well. Number five, choose to be a person of integrity. He's the real deal. He was no pretender. Again, this is much more than just a children's VBS story. This is greater than that. He practiced what he preached. We'll sing songs, "Oh, how I love Jesus." What do we say about the one that we love Monday to Saturday? What are we saying? We still singing that in our mind? How do we honor him throughout the week? Enemies sought to find something against Daniel, but there was nothing to charge him with, verse 4. And still, when Daniel knew, he went home and did what he did every day, three times a day, because he was a person of integrity. Number six and the last one is this. Choose to be faithful. Choose to be faithful. You can be faithful unto God. You don't have to give in to the world just because you're tempted to do so. You can still be faithful to God. He was faithful, simple and clear in what he did. Nothing to hide in that. Not ashamed of who he was. There's no doubt how he was going to handle the situation. And his enemies knew that. His enemies knew he would be faithful to his God. Faithfulness doesn't always make the headlines. While scandals doesn't take but one of those to be the downfall of someone. The truth and living that truth daily. Choose to be faithful like Daniel. What he did in private changed the world. And while you and I can survive a lion attack, we have to first get up every day knowing that the lion is on the prowl, knowing that he is seeking whom he may devour, knowing that's his everyday purpose. But also knowing what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What I find interesting is the next verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, that says, flee idolatry. Why? Because we're to serve the one true living God of heaven and Him only. That's the lesson that Darius learned, seeing the choices of Daniel. What might we be able to teach others around us because of our faithful choices unto God? I pray that we'll give that consideration as we think about this upcoming week. And beyond that, the way that we might benefit those around us in some way with the gospel. That we might be able to benefit those who have specific needs. As we listen to those needs, we'll reach out, we'll benefit them in the ways that we can, and hopefully a door open to preach the gospel as well. This evening, you might have a need. If it's to obey the gospel, we're here to serve you, we're here to help you. If you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, you'd repent of sin, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized to wash away those sins. You can put on Christ tonight. We'll assist you with that. The Lord will add you to His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Maybe you've taken those steps. And so it falls back the lesson for us. Are we being faithful to the God of heaven? If not, let's make changes. If we can help you in some way this evening, come to the front while we stand and while we sing.